Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. Before we get into the episode, I just want to shout out a couple of our sponsors. If you guys support these sponsors, it really helps. It goes a long ways and it helps us be able to put out more episodes more frequently. I just wanted to give a shout out to Hunter over at Rider Industries. He stopped by my house the other day and showed me the new bipod they just put out. Let me tell you, it's one of the coolest bipods, the coolest bipod I've ever seen. My favorite part about it is once you have it set on the ground, there's a lever on the side and you can actually move it left and right, whereas other bipods, you'd have to pick up the whole gun and set it again. I think that's a really cool idea, and it really sold me on that bipod. Another sponsor I want to give a shout out to real quick is Art of the Hunt. That's Art of the H-N-T is how they spell it. They're doing some really cool stuff. I sent a few pictures of my strip buck to him, and then what he does is he creates a design or a logo out of it, and it's actually the logo on the Instagram and the podcast now that he designed. So you send your buck or your bowl or whatever into him, and then he designs a logo for you, and then he can put it on hats and shirts and phone cases, all sorts of things. And actually right now they're running a promo. If you order a piece of apparel or headwear from them and use the code LAUNCH2024, that's one word, LAUNCH2024, at checkout, you're also going to get a free custom phone case with your logo on it. So it's pretty cool what they're doing. Just kind of like another way to preserve your memories of your buck or your bull. And that's Art of the H-N-T, Art of the Hunt. So go ahead and check them out. But for now, let's go ahead and get right into our episode.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We got another awesome guest on, and this guy's just a killer. He's been around a lot of big bucks, and if you look at his Instagram, he's filmed a lot of big bucks, picked up a lot of sheds, and been a part of a lot of big bucks hitting the dirt. So I'm super excited to talk to him and kind of pick his brains, Ashton Grimes. And so thanks for getting on, Ashton.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about some big mule deer.
Yeah, I was excited when you agreed to be on. I think it's going to be a fun episode to kind of hear some of the stories. So if you want, we can kind of just get right into it. Like, what got you into hunting, and maybe who, and is there like a certain thing that just was like, oh, man, I love this?
Cool. So it started when I was a little kid, really. My uncle would always – I'd always go down the Kanab. I lived up in Salt Lake at the time, and I'd always go down the Kanab, and my uncle would be like, let's go look for bucks. And, I mean, I was, like, 4 years old, and I was like, all right. And then it honestly started from there. I've always loved big mule deer. I've really only been a shed hunter, like, until the last couple of years. I loved to pick up sheds until I was about 16 and could actually drive to go hunt. So, yeah, it all started when one of my uncles got me into it.
That's sweet. And then you live in the Kanab area now, right?
So actually right now I'm up in northern Utah, but I grew up down in Kanab. When I was about 10, we moved back down there. So
okay, awesome. Yeah, that's like big buck country right there.
Yeah, I think so. I was a little spoiled.
Yeah, you can't beat some of that country with the Paunsagunt and the Kaibab right there. You got a little bit of everything.
Oh yeah, I was surrounded by big mule deer my whole life.
Sweet. And then, so I kind of just wanted to maybe pick your brain a little bit. It looks like you're guiding for both Silver Sage, and I assume that's Utah, and Drop Pine Outfitters is Arizona. Is that kind of what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'll have, I think, three hunts with Drop Pine Outfitters. I'll have a Kaibab archery hunter that starts here in 2 weeks, and then I'll have a Arizona elk guy, and then a desert bighorn sheep hunter that starts in November. So those are my hunts with Drop Tine Outfitters with Tyne Hickethorn and him. But in Utah, I guide for a guy based out of Cedar. It's Silver Sage Outfitters. He's been doing it a really long time, but he never really got anyone else into it with him. And I had a buddy who married his niece, and he's like, kept mentioning my name. And finally, I was like, okay, I'll reach out to him and see what we can do. And so he kind of picked it back up. And yeah, so last year was my first year guiding with him. And this year I have Zion General Hunter on the Zion Early Hunt. And then we actually have two Ponsagat hunters this year, which is going to be fun. It's a tough hunt, but I'm excited.
That's way fun. Are they both rifle hunters?
Yeah, both rifle hunters. So that, yeah.
Awesome. So it looks like you've been spending quite a bit of time out. Like, what do you kind of think the outlook for this year is as far as, like, antler growth and quality, and what have you been seeing out there on the Kaibab and the Ponsagat, and I guess even a little bit of the Zion if you spent time on there this year?
Honestly, it's a good year, but it's not what I expected it to be. There's some bucks that put on a lot of inches, and there's other bucks that I thought were going to put on a lot of inches, and they just didn't really put on a whole lot. I mean, maybe 5 inches or so, but they were young deer that I thought were going to blow up. And so, honestly, I think it depends on the deer. Like, the unit as a whole, I think the Ponsagat's going to be – I bet it'll be a little above average. I think the Kaibab will be right at average. You'll see a couple of 220-type bucks get killed, but I think most of the deer are going to be 180 to 190 that are going to come off the Kaibab this year.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because that's kind of what I've seen in the units that I've been kind of scouting is, like, man, some of these deer that I thought were going to blow up just really didn't. And then, like, there's a couple, like, bucks that I had last year that were pretty solid bucks, and they were actually a little bit smaller, and then a couple bucks were bigger this year. So I don't know, it's just, at least the bucks I've been watching, it's kind of just been depending on the deer.
Yeah, it's funny to me, because I, like, going into this year, I was like, it hasn't been way wet, but there's been enough moisture that I think it should push some bucks to that next level, and it really hasn't. My brother and one of my good friends picked up a set last year, and the buck was, I think, mid-90s deer, and I thought he'd be 205, 210, and from what I'm hearing, I don't think he's going to hit that mark. I think he'll probably be what he was last year.
Yeah. So I guess kind of a different question, like with your Kaibab archery hunter, or I mean just like a public hunter in general on that Kaibab archery, like what kind of buck would you be hunting this year, or does it kind of just, are you kind of just dependent on what you're finding?
I think for me it depends on the hunter. Like if the hunter comes in and he's like, we're hunting 200-inch deer, and we're hunting 200-inch deer only, then that's what we're hunting. And if we don't find any, then that's what he came to hunt. And I got lucky this year. The guy said 180 or better, and so I think that's really doable this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that hunt, I mean, they're definitely there, but you have a lot of people in there typically, and there's a lot of luck has to do with it, but they're definitely in there, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kaibab deer are honestly the strangest deer I've ever hunted or scouted this year. I spent a lot of time up there, and I'd see a deer in one spot, and then a week later I'd see him 5 miles away, and I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense to me how the deer on the Ponsagat, I can go see them every night. They're in the same spot. They feed out of the same trees. You know, I can every morning, every night, I can go see them. But these Kaibab deer have me running in circles. I really don't even know where to start with them.
That's interesting. So I was going to ask you a little bit, like, about the Pontscont. I mean, it's been a couple of years now since they took away baiting, and I feel like that's, like, how a lot of those big bucks died on the archery, on the Pontscont especially. Like, do you feel like you've seen a difference because of that at all?
In some areas, yes, and in others, no. Like, it kind of depends on where you're at in the unit. Because obviously those bucks that live in the thicker country and kind of down in the lower stuff, like, it's really hard to see them without bait and trail cam. Or, I mean, I guess you can use trail cams until the end of July, but it's really hard to find a buck in that stuff without being able to bait.
Mm-hmm. So
I think
a
lot of the...
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the big deer that are kind of in some of that harder country to hunt, they're going to live because you can't really pattern them very well because you can never see them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's actually kind of like what I was going to ask you too. Like, I mean, in the past, it seems like most of the top end bucks like got killed on the archery. Like if you had a big buck on the Pontscont, it was probably not going to make it to the rifle season. Do you kind of feel like maybe that's changed a little, or are a lot of them still probably going to die before you get a chance with your rifle hunters?
I feel like a lot of them are going to die, honestly, as bad as that sounds. I mean, I don't see a lot of, at least the bucks I've found, I don't think they're going to make it just because of where they're at. I haven't spent enough time on the Pontagon to really get off the grid and into some spots where the archery hunters aren't going to be, but most of the big Insta-famous bucks are not going to make it.
Yeah, like I've seen that big heavy typical posted a lot, and I was hoping maybe he'd make it through, but it doesn't seem like he has much of a chance with, I mean, it seems like everybody knows about him.
Well, with how skilled the outfitters are down there, with, you got Verosco, Lemons, Mossback, couple of guys that do it themselves down there, they've got those deer figured out. And so it's really hard for a mature deer to make it down on the Pontagon these days.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So I kind of wanted to go into a couple deer stories. I mean, I wrote down a few that I wanted to ask you about because it seems like you've been part of quite a few really cool deer. But one that kind of stuck out is that arrowhead buck. You kind of go into that a little bit. I had Travis Roundy on here a couple of years ago, actually. I know he kind of hunted that buck. He told that story, but then it was you guys that actually like found the sheds and the deadhead, isn't it?
Yeah. So in 2016, which was the year before Roundy shot the buck in the head, we had actually seen the buck and only got a glimpse of him for, we only saw him once, and it was maybe for like 10 minutes before he disappeared. And so we kind of had that deer in the back of our head when shed season came around, and we spent a little bit of time in there and didn't turn anything up. And so the next year I don't even know why we ended up out there. It was on a general unit, so the buck summered on the Pontagon and wintered on the Zion.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so the whole family was there, so we were going out for a family hike one day, and my dad's like, hey, why don't you just drop me in? So he's with my little brother, Isaac. He's like, why don't you just drop us off, and we're going to hike down around and hike into that sagebrush flat in the bottom, and you can just pick us up on the other side. So we're like, okay, you know, not thinking anything that he's going to come back with anything, because we're on a general unit and sheds are hard to come by.
Yeah.
So my mom and the rest of our family, we drive around, go park at the bottom of the sagebrush flat, and we're sitting there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden my dad comes walking out of the sagebrush, and this sagebrush is like probably 5.5 feet tall. Like walking through, it's like walking through a maze. And my dad comes out and he's just got this giant shed. And I'm like, what, like, where did you find, like, there's no way you found that thing on the, like, where we're at. Like, where did you hide that and make us come out here and find it? And so he comes over to the truck, and we're all like kind of in shock. We're all shocked. We're like, you know, that's one of the biggest sheds I've seen in a while. I think it's a low 90s horn. And so my dad, he looks at all of us and he goes, well, we're not leaving until the other side of that horn or that shed is in our hands. And we're all like, agreeing with him, like, yeah, we got to find the other side to that. And so we all get out, and oh, I think it only took us 15 or 20 minutes before my dad was yelling in the sagebrush flat, and he's like, I found it.
No way.
So we all, it was, it's rare that we find sets like that anymore, but yeah, it was laying probably only 100 yards, or not even 100 yards, probably like 60, 70 yards from where he picked up the first side.
Jeez, that is crazy. So that was a year before they hunted it?
So that was, that was, the sheds were the year he hunted it. But we had seen the buck the year before didn't go out there and shed hunt or anything because we didn't think he was that big. And so then 2017 came around, and that's when my dad actually picked up the sheds, was in 2017.
So how big were those sheds?
So the sheds were,
like, a number or anything?
Were 221 with a 20-inch inside. So we didn't give him much, and he's way wider than that. So
yeah. Golly, that's crazy. So then what?
So then the following year, I mean, we had spent a little bit of time out there trying to look for him during the rut, and we were actually looking in the wrong spot. He was actually down by the main road, so there was a bunch of people that had been watching him. And so my dad and my mom, I think, they went out for a hike one day, and they found a dead buck, and he was probably like 160, 165. And they were like, well, let's call the DNR and see if we can get this buck. And so the DNR gives my dad a date, and he's like, hey, we can go out there and get that buck for you on this day. And so my dad's like, all right, sweet. So my dad and I load up that day and drive out there and meet the DNR, and we're walking to where the 160-ish dead buck was, and we kind of take a different path that my dad didn't take the day he found the 160 buck. And we're walking over, and my dad looks to his right, and he goes, this isn't the buck we're looking for, but he goes, I want that buck. He's like, I don't care about the other
no
buck. At that
way.
Time, he had looked over and saw the arrowhead buck laying dead on the ground.
Wow.
And
with
the
officer right there.
Yeah, we are walking with the DNR officer, who, come to find out, had video of the buck and was looking for his shed.
No way.
So, so my dad's sees him laying on the ground, and we walk over there, and my dad didn't realize it was the arrowhead buck yet, and so we're walking over, and I said, "Dad, that's your buck." I said, "That's the buck that you picked up the sheds to last year." And he's like, "No, it's not." And about that time he goes, "Yeah, it is." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know it is." Like, that's crazy. And so the DNR officer still has to do his thing with the arrowhead buck and make sure that he can't pick up any, you know, metal particles with his metal detector. And so he spends probably like 10 or 15 minutes trying to find metal in this deer. And he's like, "Yeah, well, I can't find anything." But he's like, "That hole in the head," he's like, "I think I'm going to have to keep the deer with me till we figure out if that hole in his head is what killed him." And so me and my dad are like, "Crap, like, we're not going to get this buck back." Like, my dad just found this dead buck, and yeah, we're never going to see it again. And so we walk out, the DNR officer carries the buck to the truck, and we stand there for a little bit, and me and my dad are like, "Well, we just better leave." And we drive probably 50 yards down the road, and I'm like, "Dad, you have the picture that Travis Roundy sent you of that buck with the hole in its head from the year before." I'm like, "Let's go show it to him and prove that the hole in the head is not what killed that deer." And
yeah,
like, "Oh yeah, yeah, let's go try it. Like, let's try anything," because we need that deer back. And so we run up there and we show the DNR officer. We're like, "Look, dude, you can zoom in. You can clearly see there's a hole in that deer's head from a year ago. We know who shot him. Like, that is not what killed this deer." And he's like, "Okay, let me call my manager and see what she said." Or I think it was a she, I'm not sure. And
yeah,
the manager was like, "Well, if they have that proof and you can't," and like, what did she, I can't remember what exactly he said, but he came over and said some, sounded like gibberish to me and my dad because it was so technical. And then he's like, my dad's like, "So can I have it?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's yours." And so
no we
were
way.
Like, "No way. There's no way we get this." So yeah, it was, we finally got it, brought it home, and I think it taped out at like, he had broken off like 20 inches. I think he taped out at 215 broke. And when we got him, McKay Sorensen fixed him and fixed his antlers, and he scored 234 is what he scored.
That's insane. So do you think he, like, got hit by a car, or did he just, like, what, if you had to guess, like, how did he die?
I think a lion got him, honestly, because
yeah,
there was two or three dead bucks in those trees, and they were like, their noses were all kind of gone, and so we think a mountain lion got him, but honestly,
okay,
I'm not sure. He could have rutted really hard too and just died of exhaustion.
Yeah, that's crazy though that you were in there to try to claim a different buck, and then that's how you found him. That's insane. I can't even imagine.
It was definitely like a heartbreaker at first because, I mean, we definitely did not think that that deer was coming home with us. We thought everything else. Like, my dad looked at me and he's like, "I guarantee that's the last time we ever see that deer." And I was like, just made me sick. Like, that big of a dead buck, and we're never going to get to put our hands on him again.
So he put on probably like, go ahead.
He put on like 15 or so inches from the year before, but it's weird. So after Roundy shot him in the head, he grew kind of funky. His right side came up, and then it had like another G2 that went kind of off his face, that went backwards, and it split. And then, like, she still had the rest of his normal horn. So I don't know. I think when Roundy shot him in the head, it kind of messed with his horn growth for next year, but it made him bigger.
That is so interesting. So the year before the sheds you guys had, you said he wasn't very, very big. Like, what would you have guessed him at?
I would have guessed him at 185. Like, he was still a solid buck, but he
but
didn't have
like
really any of the inlines or the cheaters or anything. Like, he was just kind of like a slick typical. I think he had one inline, actually. So he was just a pretty typical the year before, and I think he blew up that year that Travis hunted him.
That is crazy. That's actually a sweet story. I can't believe kind of how it played out.
Yeah, I could have never imagined it playing out like that. Honestly, with how many people were watching that deer, it would have been tough for us to even pick up the sheds the next year. I mean, as soon as we found that deadhead and it was out that we had found it, there was people reaching out to us constantly about seeing the buck off the main road.
Jeez, that's crazy.
What's even crazier, the year before he picked up the sheds, we were actually hunting in there, and there were like that sagebrush flat I was telling you about, there was people shooting that deer in there left and right, and somehow none of those hunters tripped over those sheds. The sheds were laying on the ground, and nobody found
them.
That's
insane. In a high traffic area like that, with hunters everywhere, I can't believe that. Especially how they're like kind of spread out. Like maybe someone should have picked up one side or something. That is crazy.
Yeah, we were watching up on the hill, and obviously we didn't know that the sheds were there at that time. But we guessed that somebody had to have walked within 20 yards of them.
So I kind of wanted to go into another story, kind of speaking of sheds, I guess. You found a pretty cool set. It kind of has, like, that three-point on that one side, and then the year you guys killed it has, like, it grew some extras. Can you kind of go into that story?
Yeah. So for that buck, first time we ever saw a picture or anything, Jeremy Houston took a picture of him and posted it on Instagram. And my dad was scrolling through Instagram one day and scrolled past that buck. And we were sitting there on the couch and he goes, "I want to find that deer sheds." He's like, "I have no idea where he's at, but I want to find that deer sheds." And, we were just kind of laughing and we thought nothing of it. Well, my dad and mom, my dad's the luckiest shed hunter I know. So they went out for like a 2-hour hike. And I get this text of my dad holding this giant 3-point. And I'm like,
"No way.
No way." I'm like, "No way you picked up that deer shed." And he's like, calls me. He's like, "I found it." And we had no idea that buck was there. We'd never seen him on the hoof at this point. He just picked up his shed. So then they spent hours out there trying to match him up and no luck. And so the next day, I mean, we started it right as the sun came up. We started hiking. And I was hiking for maybe 30 minutes. And I saw this, there was a kind of a buck brush finger that came down into this bottom, and I was like, "I'm going to go hike that." I was like, I could see some bucks spending some time on that bitter brush, buck brush hillside. And so I was walking up the hillside, and I was going along and looked up a ways in front of me, and I was like, "Oh, I swear there's a big 3-point shed, but it looks white." So I walk up to the shed and I'm like, no way. It's the year before.
No.
So I like pick that shed up. Yeah, I picked that shed up in awe. And I walk not even 15 feet and the other side's laying there. And I'm like, this is like a dream come true. Like, we're going to have 2 years off of this buck. And so I get back to the truck and we're all pumped, you know, and still no luck finding the other side to that shed. And we've over, I don't even know, 3 years, we've probably put over 100 miles each in there looking for the other side to the shed my dad found that year, because that was his biggest year. That shed's 86 inches broke, and it has, so we talked to some guys that hunted the buck that year, and he had a inline that broke that was as long as his G2. So
no way.
He broke off like a 17-inch inline, so that horn would have been over 100 inches as a 3-point frame deer.
Oh my gosh. So was his other side just a 3.2, or like how
yeah,
did so
his other
not
side
get
was a
killed? Sorry, go ahead.
His other side was a 3-point with, he had two cheaters on both sides that year. And same
okay,
with the year I picked up his white set. He had two extras out both sides.
Okay, so that's probably what saved him from, like, the management.
Yeah, I think so, actually. Because I wondered the same thing. I was like, how did this deer, I mean, honestly, not get mistaken for a 3-point on the management hunt?
Yeah, because you see a deer like that, I mean, and they pretty much have the rut season dates. That's crazy.
Yeah. So the next year, so this would have been in 2021. I went out with a buddy, and we decided to drive down the road where he likes to rut, and came around the corner, and he was rutting so hard, like chasing does from one side of the flat to the other side of the flat. And like, I've never seen a buck that rutted as hard as that buck did. Like, those genetics are everywhere out there now.
Yeah.
So we saw him in 21, and he was actually, he was a 3-point on the one side, like didn't grow any teeters off one of his sides that year. And we were like, I think it was actually, I want to say that management hunt was like a 5-day hunt.
Yeah.
And it was like day four of the management hunt, and we're like, that deer's dead.
Oh,
there's no way.
You guys actually saw him during that management hunt.
Yeah, so it was like the fourth day of that management hunt, and we're like, he's dead. And so we go back out there like a week later, and sure enough, he's still there. So we're like, well, let's leave him alone. I mean, everyone was taking pictures of him. Anyone that wanted to go see him, he was right off of the off of a main road that everyone knows about. And so,
yeah,
we're like, well, we're just gonna have to hope that he goes back over into the pocket where he sheds, and hopefully we can pick up his sheds again this year. So that was in 21, or that was in 20. So that would have been November of 20, I want to say.
Okay.
And so we left him alone. And then in 21, my parents, again, anytime my parents go out shed hunting, just the two of them, they come back with something big. I can't remember exactly if my mom or my dad picked up the first side to him that year, but he was probably like a 180-inch 3-point, and they picked up both browns off of him that year. So they picked up that set. And so 2022 comes around, and at middle of the summer, and at this time we had a trip planned to go to San Francisco the first weekend of the Pontsagant rifle hunt. And so I had a buddy's dad that had a tag and a couple of, like, one of my good friends' cousin had a tag. Threw it with, I think, 2 points.
No way. That's crazy.
And so I got back from my vacation, and my buddy Colt Tate texted me, and he's like, hey, let's run out. My cousin has the tag. Let's run out and see if we can kill something. So we run out, and earlier in the night, we actually saw like a 30, I'd say he's like 33-inch three-point, and the kid was going to shoot him. Like, that buck pulled the Houdini and disappeared on us. And so we were like, well, we got about 45 minutes of daylight left. Let's just go back and drive down the main road and see if anything's off the main road. We really don't have time for anything else.
Yeah. So
we're driving down the main road, and we look over, and we see probably like a 175-ish type deer. And we're like, well, do you want to shoot it? And he's like, no. And we drive down the road and don't see anything else. And there's probably about 15 minutes of shooting life left. And he's like, I'll shoot that buck. Let's go back. I'm going to shoot that buck.
No.
So we go driving back. Yeah. So we had just passed the deer. And so then we like, no, I want to shoot it. So we drive back down the road, and we're like, all right, let's go find him. He's right off the road. So we drive back to where we had seen the 175-ish deer, and Cole looks over and he goes, the big three-point standing there. And I'm like, no, he's not. And I put up my binos, and like 70 yards off the road, the three-point is standing there. And the kid's like, can I shoot it? And I'm like, I really want to find the sheds to that deer, but I guess you can shoot it. And so he stepped out of the truck and smoked him, and I mean, just dropped him right there in his tracks. And I really hadn't got a good look at the buck to even see what he was or anything like that. And I got over to him, and I almost died. Like, he put on a lot of, I mean, he put on, I think, 10 inches from the year before. He went from a 180 three-point to a 190 three-point.
That's so insane. That's such a big deer to be a three-point frame and still go like 190. That's insane.
He's probably the biggest three-point I've ever seen, and his body size was crazy to me. He was like the size of a cow.
Really?
I've never seen a buck with a body as big as that deer. Like, we took him into the taxidermist, which is one of my cousins, and he's like, the head on that thing is ginormous. And we're like, yeah, like, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a deer close to this size.
Jeez, that's so cool, though. So you have 3 different years off of them. 1 year you don't match, but the other 2 you do. And then you guys killed them.
Yeah, so we had
so cool.
the white set that I found, the single my dad found, and then the set my parents found. And then, yeah, we killed the buck in 22. So it was crazy. I miss watching that deer a lot. He was fun to watch. Like I said, he rutted his tail off. He was – you could see him any day you wanted to.
That is so cool. I wonder how old that deer was. Because, I mean, your set was pretty big, wasn't it? The first set.
Yeah, it was like mid 170s probably. It wasn't near as big as the year my dad found him. I think he was probably 8 or 9.
Jeez.
Is what
that's so cool.
What I think. Yeah, he was an old, old buck.
Yeah.
Barely had any teeth left.
That's just such a cool-looking deer. So I know I've had you on for a little bit, but if you're okay with it, we kind of talked about one more story. Do you mind telling that? You said it was your Pontsagant hunter last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Paunsagunt hunt last year was a blast. It was actually one of the funner hunts I've been on in a long time. The hunter was 72 years old, I think is what he was. So it was, we knew it was going to be a grind just because
Yeah.
he can't get around as well as a younger guy, but he had the drive in him to do it. And so we had scouted really hard the like 3 to 4 days before the hunt, and we really weren't turning anything up that got us excited. So I went to a spot the night before the hunt started, and I saw like 15 or 20 bucks, and I was like, "Well, Kevin, we could start here." It's Kevin Palmer's the guy that I guide for with Silver Sage.
Okay.
And so I was like, "Well, we can start here and see what we see from there." And so the first morning, right as the sun comes up, we spot a buck, and he's maybe a 170s buck. He's nothing special. This guy wanted one, probably 190 or better. He honestly wasn't very picky. And so we were like, "Well, we got to pass that buck in order to kill a better one." We
Yeah.
pass that deer and really don't see a whole lot the rest of opening morning. We really don't see anything that night. The next morning, we go back to that same spot and we see probably 10 or 15 bucks, but just nothing over that 175 mark. And that evening, we're driving back on a road and we look up and there's a buck standing off the side of the road, and we're like, "Oh, that's a solid buck." The hunter gets out and gets on him, and we're like, no, don't shoot him, don't shoot him, he's not big enough." And that was really like the
Yeah.
first decent buck we had seen the whole hunt, like the first 2 days. The first 2 days were rough. And so
Dang.
we were hunting up high. And Kevin's like, "We got to go low. Like, we're not seeing anything good up high. We got to switch something up and we got to go low." And honestly, I was like not very excited to go low. I was like, "No, I don't know." I'm like, "We're seeing a lot of bucks." And he's like, "Trust me, we got to go low." So I'm like, "All right, let's go low." And so Kevin knows this spot like the back of his hand, and he sends me up on a ridge and he's like, "Glass this way into this pocket, glass over here. Sometimes the bucks will be right underneath you." And he's like, "Me and the hunter will go over to this other ridge," and it's probably a 200-yard walk between the two ridges. And I get up there and I'm seeing bucks everywhere. Like, oh, there's a 170 buck, there's a just solid deer actually, like all over the place, and nothing that
Yeah.
got me too excited. And Kevin gets on the radio and he's like, "Hey, we got a 30-inch wide 3x4 over here." He's like, "Are you seeing anything?" And right as he says, like, we got a buck found," I'm scrolling along and I'm like, "I got a buck." And he looks big. I'm like, I don't know how big. I'm like, I'm thinking 190 plus. And Kevin's like, "Okay." He's like, "Well, we're gonna sit right here for a minute and see what we can see." And I'm like, "Okay." And so at this time I'm watching the buck, and he walks up towards the trees, and I'm like, "Oh crap." And he beds just in the sagebrush. He just beds for a minute. And
So you have him still where he's bedded, like you can see him.
Yeah, I can barely see his head and his horns. And so I get like a quick video of him before the sun comes. I was glassing into the sun right before the sun comes up
Yeah.
over the ridge, and I can't see him anymore. And I get this video and I'm like, "All right, Kevin, it's late enough in the morning. Come over here, let's look at the video, see what you think, and we can go from there." And I studied the video until they got over there, and I'm like, "We got to kill this buck." I could see that he had like a webbing on his back forks, I was like, I don't know what, I didn't know what exactly it was. Like I said, I really only saw the buck for like 5 minutes before the sun came over the hill and I couldn't see anymore. So Kevin comes over and he's like, yeah, we should probably make a play on that deer. So we close the distance and we're not seeing him, not seeing him. Cause I'm glassing the trees. I'm like, well, he had to have walked up into the trees and bedded. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to glass the sagebrush. So I turn and I'm glassing the sagebrush and all of a sudden just right in the middle of my screen, there he is. And he's just feeding on a
No way.
Brush.
Oh, so he's up.
Like, he's up and he's feeding. Like it's, the sun is up. I mean, it's probably 8:30 in the morning. Like the sun's been up for an hour and a half now, or at least an hour, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, there he is. And we're like, I think we were 6:50. And the hunter's like, well, I haven't shot many animals past 300. And Kevin's like, okay, well, we'll see what we can do, see how close we can get you. And so
there,
Kevin tells me to stay where I'm at to keep an eye on the buck while they go around and try to get closer to him. And I swear I was waiting there for like a century.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like sitting on the ground back behind my spotting scope, watching my phone up there on video, like trying not to miss the shot. And I'm like about to fall asleep. And I turn the video off and I turn the video back on. And literally right as I turn the video back on, boom. And so he shoots and I can tell he hit the buck, but I could tell it wasn't great. And I was like, crap. I'm like, I hope he doesn't get far enough away that they can't put another bullet in him.
Yeah.
And I mean, me waiting there, I say it was like a century, but it was probably only 25 minutes.
Yeah, but it just feels like forever.
Yeah, I was watching this buck, and I'm like, are they ever going to get there? Like, is this, he's not going to feed forever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it all worked out, and Kevin knows what he's doing. So I knew that, you know, the odds of us getting that buck were really good. And so I wasn't that worried. But so he shoots the buck. The buck runs over and kind of stands behind some oaks for a minute where they can't see him, and he finally walks out, and he puts another one in him, and he drops.
No way.
Yeah, Kevin gets on the radio, and he's like, he bucks down. So I jog all the way. I mean, not even jog. I'm, like, sprinting back to the truck to get the supplies and stuff and drive around to where they're at. And so I can walk over to the buck. When I get back to the truck, I'm driving down the road, and there's a group of hunters standing off the side of the road, and they're like, did you guys just shoot one? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, is he any good? I'm like, oh, I haven't walked up to him yet, but I'm guessing he's a 190s type deer. And they're like, oh, really? Like, we didn't even see him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? Like, kind of surprised like that they weren't shooting at him from where they were.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, we didn't even see him. So I get around, get to Kevin, walk up to the buck, and the buck surprised me. Like, he was way better than I thought. Not, I mean, I thought he was a
really?
90s deer, but I didn't expect him to have the look that he did. I think he had 39 inches of mass.
Jeez.
And you can't tell from the pictures. Like, we took him into the taxidermist, and he's like, I want to see the pictures of this deer. And so I show him the pictures, and he's like, oh, you really can't see his mass at all in the pictures. And I'm like, no, you can't. And so I was like, well, will you tape him for us?
Mm-hmm.
And he taped him right at one, I think it was 193, but he tight taped him. Like I told him, I was like, don't give him anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, And so, yeah, he tight taped him at 193 and some change.
Golly. That is crazy. That's cool, especially like under those circumstances. Like, I mean, you can't get around as good as maybe some of the other hunters, but you guys still made it happen.
Yeah, and that's what I was worried about. So when I was watching the buck, a side-by-side pulled up and parked, like, in between me and the deer.
And no so I way.
Like, I was like, are they going to shoot him? Like, what are they doing? And they're all being loud. Like, how the deer stayed there, I will never know, because they're all, like, talking, slamming doors. And this buck's just
standing
up on the hill.
So they had to be, like, 300-400 yards away from that deer.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were close enough that I was like, there's no way that deer can't hear them.
Right, right. Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah, that's what was going through my head is I'm like, I hope these guys don't shoot him. And I don't think they ever saw the deer. I mean, the deer was, yeah, probably only 300 yards from him. And I don't know if there was a little rise in the hills where we were or what, but I don't think they ever saw that buck.
Yeah, jeez, that's so cool. Dang, those are some cool stories, though. Man, that gets me excited for hunting season.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for this year. My wife probably tired of me talking about hunting and, you know, talking about my hunts that I have coming up, and you know, I can't stop thinking about it. I've been having some sleepless nights lately thinking about big mule deer, so.
I bet. You've got a full schedule coming up, so we might have to do this again after your season.
Oh, for sure. If you want to, I'm down for that. see what we can get done.
Yeah, I hope it works out for you, Ashton. I mean, it seems like you're finding some good deer and you're out there. You kind of know those areas, so can't wait to see what you guys put down.
Yeah, I'm excited. Really excited for this Kaibab hunter. It's the first Kaibab archery hunter I've ever had. Back in the day, I helped my aunt with a Kaibab tag, and we killed a 220 buck, so.
Jeez, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll beat that, but we can at least try.
Yeah. Awesome. Well,
hey, guys, thanks again for listening. It really means a lot. I'm out here trying to find a big buck that I've been watching, but, man, I can't turn him up. I thought I was a better hunter than I am, so hopefully in the next week or two I can show you guys some pictures of the big buck I killed. But if not, I enjoy watching you guys kill big bucks too. So if you kill big bucks, send it my way. I'd love to do a podcast with you. Thanks again for listening.